You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 5th of December 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.2%. We'll have the details with Chris Weston from Pepperstone, including his take on Bitcoin reaching that new milestone of $100,000. But first, to property. And while there's been a slowdown in values, property experts at Domain expect prices will continue to rise around the country next year because of an undersupply, with one city in particular to lead the market. For that and more, Raina Bosch spoke with the chief economist at Domain, Nicola Powell.
We are expecting a bit of a year of two halves for Australia's housing market, and I think it really is going to be marked by when the RBA actually move on reducing the cash rate and also how many reductions we see over 2025. What we're likely to see is a weaker first half, and that weaker first half is likely to be felt more so in markets like Sydney. What we're likely to see, though, is when rates are cut, it is going to boost consumer sentiment. And once we start to see a rise in sentiment, that historically plays out well for Australia's housing market, and it creates higher levels of turnover. It ultimately brings buyers to market. We'll likely see a better outlook in the second half of the next calendar year once we start to see the RBA reduce the cash rate. But we're going to have a diverse market. We are going to see a multi-speed market continue in 2025. That star performer is going to continue to be Perth. We are estimating an upper forecast of 10%. But overall, what we are expecting is most of our capital cities are still going to rise. That undersupply of housing hasn't disappeared in 2025. It's still going to be there propping up price. But what we are expecting is the pace of price growth is going to lose significant momentum next year due to affordability constraints.
So what does that mean for the likes of first home buyers and renters?
It is absolutely challenging for first-time buyers when prices are rising and wages just haven't kept up. I think what we're likely to see is Help to Buy will, of course, assist some first-home buyers to become homeowners. I think what that would do is help to steer demand towards the lower end of the housing market. And what that means is we're likely to see more affordable houses and unit prices hold up firmer relative to the upper end of the market or even houses in comparison.
We know that next year, one of the key battlegrounds in the federal election is going to be housing. What could this mean in terms of prices or people's ability to break into the market?
While an election doesn't directly impact the housing market, what we have got are policies on the line that can directly influence the types of buyers in the market, but also the decisions of when to purchase. So I do think it does depend on what are the policies, who comes into power. Things like negative gearing, if we actually see negative gearing and capital gains tax discounts being removed or reduced, that will have an impact on investment activity. Things like policies for first home buyers. If there is the idea that a first home buyer policy could come into place, what that means is first home buyers delay their decision. So it pushes purchases further down the road. So I do think that there are a lot of policies on the line that could influence different buyer segments and have a differing impact in terms of momentum and price growth.
Finally, Nicola, looking ahead, what are the other key factors that could influence the market either to the upside or downside on pricing?
There are many upside and downside risks to 2025's property market. That economic uncertainty is something that really looms strong for 2025. It's been a key player in 2024's market and will shape 2025. I think when the RBA move, or if they perhaps move later in the year, that will also have an influence overall on price growth and momentum. But I also think the stretched affordability is one that is really looming strong across Australia and particularly in our higher priced markets. We are expecting Brisbane and Adelaide to join the $1 million median house price by the end of 2025. And Perth is only going to be $16,000 away from $1 million. So that does mean most of our major capital cities will have a median house price of $1 million or more. And I think if you ask the average Australian, they would all say that $1 million median is grossly unaffordable.
That's Nicola Powell there from Domain.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Shares in the US hit a record for the S&P 500. Here we followed, but then eased back toward the end of the day, still up. The S&P ASX 200 adding 0.15% to 8,474. For more, I spoke with Chris Weston, Head of Research at Pepperstone.
Well, we're holding just near the all-time highs in the ASX 200, but there's just been a little bit of life coming out as we go into the back end of the day. Certainly banks have seen a bit of selling pressure playing through. It's nothing too sinister. But yeah, it's kind of one of those days where there's a bit of a low energy coming through in the market. You know, we've seen mining stocks under a bit of pressure. Energy as a sector is a little bit lower. We've seen tech really being the outperformer on the day, and that's really spilled over from some of the moves that we saw in the US as well, where tech is certainly ripping higher at the moment. But we traded just shy of 8,500 today, and we just sort of tailed off into the close with China and Hong Kong under a bit of pressure there as well.
Following that slower than expected GDP figures, what's the market now expecting in terms of where we'll see or when we'll see the first RBA interest rate cut? Because for a while there, we've been seeing more and more market economists anyway pushing back their expectations for a cut, predominantly from about February to May.
Yeah, and they may well look to revise those totals again, although now they've revised a lot of them out to May. They'll probably be fairly staunch in waiting for more information to come through. But the markets, in terms of the interest rate futures and swaps pricing, is much more of a moving and fluid beast. And we move those pricing on a much more regular basis. And what we've seen after the GDP print, of course, any of the support that we saw from the GDP print was from government spending, was that people have ratcheted up their bets that we are going to see a higher chance of a February cut coming through now. And there's a 55% chance implied for that cut to come through. Obviously, if they don't cut in that meeting, then certainly May is certainly seen as a lock. And if we go through, over the next 12 months, we've got about three rate cuts being priced in by over the next 12 months. Of course, let's look at the data that the RBA needs to be convinced by. But I think by February, we're going to see another two jobs or unemployment reports coming through. And then we get the big Q4 CPI print that comes out on the 29th of January. I think once we've got those data points in play, we should be in a position to know, if that February situation is a realistic time for the RBA to look to cut rates, in the lead up into the next election. So at the moment, it's a bit of a moving target, but I suppose, Mark, the RBA needs to be convinced and they'll need more information for that. And it's those data points I told you about, which could see us cutting rates in February.
You mentioned earlier the US shares there hitting a record, the S&P 500 there, up 7% since the US election result as well. Those investors expecting a Santa rally now, will they see it?
Well, there's a good chance that's happening already, to be honest, Ricardo. The question is the further you push this into year end, the more likely is that we could see some big volatility playing through in January as artificial selling plays through and people look to release those positions. So that elastic band will be pulled back and we could see a very lively January indeed. But of course, a lot of this seasonal Santa rally that people talk about is really predicated on how well the S&P performs going into December. And obviously, we've seen some outrageous returns in the US equity market. So this brings in the active managers, the guys out, the hedge funds out there, the managers that need to be a benchmark, that get paid a performance fee for outperforming the S&P, for example. So in this situation where the S&P is up 27% year to date, if your fund is only up 25%, what happens now is you need to ratchet up the risk that's in the market. So you can't just be benchmark. You have to actually go out and increase the risk higher than what the market could potentially do, which means buying more equity, so that you need to chase that performance, which I think we're starting to see now to an extent. So because the index has performed so well this year, that the chance of a chase of performance into year end is obviously much higher now. But what we're seeing is certainly in the last couple of last 3 or 4 weeks, has been really aggressive switching and rotation between sectors, styles, factors. People have gone into value, people have gone into quality, defensives. But what we're seeing is this rotation back into growth and into tech, into AI, into software names. CRM or Salesforce absolutely doing some fantastic results and showing that they're really monetizing the AI and the AI infrastructure, which is a new development. We saw Marvell coming out with great numbers yesterday, and that's really boosted the tech space. So what we've seen now is the reemergence once again of the heavyweight tech sector, the AI names finding their mojo, and that's reestablishing leadership. So again, you've got that chase, tech working. Yeah, it does bode well for a year-end chase.
All right, if that's the markets, what about currency markets? If we look locally, the Australian dollar anyway, I've seen some economist notes being quite bearish, including NAB, which recently said that the Aussie could go below 60 US if a global trade war ensues from US import tariffs, if China does seek to devalue its own currency. What do you think?
Well, I think a trade war is the obvious risk that we're facing in Q1. The question is how much has already been discounted and ultimately how aggressive will the tariffs be? I mean, one suspects, given the team that Trump has put around him are genuinely China hawks, one suspects he has to go in pretty hard, and we will see a staggered but gradualist approach to get to that 60% tariffs on Chinese exports. But I think what's really interesting here is the view is that if the Chinese remember the yuan is to be devalued, then the Australian dollar will follow in appreciation, which has been a strong relationship for some time. And really, if you go back to the 2018-2019 playbook where Trump put tariffs on then, it really wasn't actually until the tariffs were implemented and the PBOC and the authorities there knew the facts that they started to devalue the yuan, and they devalued it by about 11% to offset the impact of the tariffs. So the question is now is will they do the same this time around, and will they wait until the inauguration on the 20th of January, the tariffs to kick in, they actually know exactly what they're looking at, and then they start to devalue the yuan going forward. And if that's the case, then you could easily see the Australian dollar going lower in line with that call, and we suspect that could be the case. But really, this time around, what we're also looking at is the idea that the Chinese, they do have the capacity to come out with a significant demand-driven stimulus that could create animal spirits. So that makes it that trade a little bit more complicated, which wasn't the case in 2018. We all know there's a big bazooka potentially waiting in the wing from a fiscal perspective, and that could be quite supportive at the end of the day for the Australian dollar. So, look, I think there's a lot to making a currency call, and this is why people don't tend to like doing them. And they're based on a set of assumptions. But look, you could easily make a case, if things got spicy and, equity markets came under pressure and we saw risk coming out of the market, then, the Australian dollar will naturally go lower in that situation.
Can we talk about a different type of currency, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, finally breaking through US $100,000. What do you make of it?
Well, there's just been so much good news recently hitting Bitcoin. And like Bitcoin and the crypto scene, like a lot of markets, obviously is driven by sentiment, and sentiment is driven by price. So, you've had the wind to its backs. And I think really what we've seen is the idea that the regulatory environment is now changing, and changing in a much, much more compelling way for the crypto movement. We've heard confirmation of Paul Atkin coming on as the new SEC boss, and he'll be replacing Gary Gensler, who ran a very, very prudent and tight ship towards the crypto scene, and Bitcoin in particular. So the question is they're not going to let the party get out of control. But certainly the wind is to its backs at the moment. We see massive inflows yesterday into the Bitcoin ETF across the different scenes. In fact, record volumes coming through into the crypto ETFs. We've seen the options market in Bitcoin ETFs coming through as well. And that's a new development that's taking place. But about 1:30 today, we saw Bitcoin having a really nice run, and then it broke that illustrious milestone of 100,000 and ripped all the way up to 104,000. So the question now is can it hold that level, and can we build a new platform above 100,000? But this is a market which has everything working for it now. You've got the President of the United States fighting your corner, championing the cause. You've got a much more compelling regulatory environment coming through. You've got momentum, you've got institutional adoption through the ETF scene. And the question is how much higher can go, because there's certainly big demand every time we get a pullback.
Chris Weston there from Pepperstone.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice, and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.